Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, realize that Jesus himself said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll lead you into all truth and show you things to come. And we know that that is a very broad statement that many people could take and arrogate to themselves a privilege that is not theirs, that they can be taught by the Holy Spirit and need no one. For we know that is entirely wrong, because you realize that you yourself are in divine order, your own divine order came down and gave it the Apostle Paul. But now by the baptism, we can know those things which are freely given to us, especially in this hour when it has been vindicated unto us, thus proving, Lord, that only those who follow a message of vindication truly could say they're full of the Holy Spirit. Being this the truth this morning, Lord, we ask for your help, even the Spirit himself, to bear witness to our spirit, moving us right along with this word, that we may grow therein and come to maturity, as Brother Branham has stated. Therefore, we dedicate ourselves to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now we're at number three in this end time seed sign. As we mentioned last Wednesday, Brother Branham has been spending quite some time in pointing out that God cannot only be perceived as a creator of all things, but actually in observing nature created by God, we can see the proof of the resurrection which comes by God himself. And we see that through the processes of nature. Brother Branham took the book of Job and, using the words of Job, spoke how that the tree in summer bears leaves and fruit, but as it came toward fall, the leaves departed, they dropped off, and the fruit fell. The tree appears dead, yet in the spring it comes forth in a resurrection. But what about man? He dies, he is gone. Where does he come in God's plan? Is there no resurrection or rising again for him? Is he then less than a tree? The answer, of course, is no. He is not less than a tree, and it's not that he has no resurrection. It's just that it's delayed. Man will rise when man's Redeemer, the seed of the woman, stands on the earth, and Job prophesies he will be there with him. And though skin worms eat Job's body, yet Job shall see God in his own flesh. That's Job's own flesh. And, of course, he will see God, the Son of Man, in flesh, too. Job says he himself will see it being there himself and not another person other than himself. In other words, this is not some idea of the transmigration of souls or some type of program that might be worked out, but this is a personal resurrection. Job himself is coming back. As Brother Branham one time in the pulpit dropped his handkerchief, and he said, see, the handkerchief's gone down. If it comes back like an umbrella or something else, that is not a resurrection. What goes down must come back up. As Brother Branham said, Job was a prophet, and he knew that a man born of a woman, a virgin, who would believe the word of God, would come and redeem God's children. Having said this, Brother Branham again compares Mary with Eve. Mary never reasoned about the promised word as to its outcome, which was to bear the Messiah, the Son of God. She did, however, desire to know the process of the promise she had just accepted. With no man involved, at least not presently, how could this be? And what are the processes expected so she can be submissive entirely to the word? In other words, as a conduct always goes with your faith. But notice, Eve did not respond in that manner, though she herself, like Mary, had the ability and power of choice in her soul to receive or refuse the word of God. When Eve refused, she brought forth a serpent seed, an antichrist, a liar, a murderer. Though indeed Cain was a worshiper, even of the true God, he was antagonistic and rebellious to the revelation of the word of God. And here we have the first oxymoron of a sort, Cain, the rebellious worshiper. You don't really believe that you can worship and be rebellious. I've got news for you. That's exactly what happened. Because worship means to adore and to be sympathy with and a part of. Or as our fundamentalists say, he worshiped in self-will like his father the devil. In other words, he was going to do it his way. It's not God's way. You have the same fallacy right today in the world. What does it matter as long as we all worship the same God? So now we say Allah means God, and so the Muslims now believe in God. Hogwash. Allah is the name of a devil. You know, let's face it. Now remember, just how we described Cain, who was brought forth, he's the serpent seed antichrist, so on, brought forth by Eve denying the word of God, which was presented to her. Death, death, death. And at the same time, think of Mary, who by deciding and accepting the word, brought forth Christ, not only pro-word man, for the word, and certainly the manifestation, but absolutely the word of God manifested in flesh, and he himself was life, life, life. So that as the promised word of the resurrection, he died, that we might live. Now, he was the promised word of the resurrection, but he had to die to shed his blood in order we might live. And since in him was the resurrection word, that's what he is, I am the resurrection and the life, he rose from the dead and fulfilled Job's prophecy. And Job stood with him at the resurrection. How marvelous, as Brother Branham said, when Job spoke the word that God showed him after 2,000 years, perhaps even 3,000 years, it was materialized because it was a spoken word of God. Job spoke it. In other words, he verbalized it, not God. Yet it was God's word, that which was the Rhema, verbalized by Job, and therefore, no matter who spoke it, it was Job in that case, it was the spoken word of God. Now, that's what you're looking at, is that seed. Don't fail to see that. It is going on today, the word of the season, spiritual food in our time. That's the spoken word is right here today, although it's in the Bible. Whatever is there has to be actually for its season and time. And in this hour, we are at a juncture which is particularly interesting and wonderful. Brother Branham is now has brought into actual force the word of God which is spoken, putting it in its due season. The spoken word is a seed, and it materializes or come forth manifested in its season. You see, it can't come ahead of time where it's aborted. It is resurrection season now. How will we fare in this hour if we do not respond as Mary? It will be as Eve, who should have said, God said so, serpent leave me and get away. Jesus was the one who did that. See, he was the true seed. Now notice something else here. Both Eve and Mary were tested. The serpent came to Eve and challenged the woman who was already manifested as the only gestator or carrier of the seed who had the promise. Now you notice the challenge was to the woman who was the carrier. Or I call it the gestator because the child, there's a period of gestation in there before the child comes forth, in time of conception to birth. Now remember, she was that one chosen, and she had the promise since Satan came to her. Now she listened to Satan's challenge. But here is Mary, a female, one amongst thousands. Not one person now, but she's one amongst the millions, actually, who is offered the opportunity to be the carrier, gestator of the promised seed. Mary took up the promise and composed herself and dedicated herself to it and for it. That was that. In other words, this was the destiny, and you don't swim against the current. How strange it is that God himself brought the word to Eve, and she turned it down for Satan's lie, but Mary received the same word of God given only by an angel. And she eagerly and blessedly identified herself with the fullness of her part that God gave her by an angelic messenger. I thought at this time we ought to go back and just read Luke again. We say it so many times that would be just plenty good to go back and see it. Luke 1:46-55. Now, notice, here's Mary's identification. And Mary said, after her cousin had said, who is it? Why am I so blessed to have the mother of my Lord come here, the babe leaped in her womb, and so on. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. He that is mighty hath done great things, done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Now remember, the only generation that ever feared the Lord is the seed. Let's get that flat. Because a seed is given to him for a generation. Don't look around the world and expect anything else but God's own seed. See, the Bible dovetails. He has showed strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. Oh, come on, Mary, stop it. Boy, are you really flowing off of the mouth? What is this angel stuff that you're going to tell me about? See? That's what the world tells us. What is this prophet stuff, pillar of fire? What is that angel? What is that stuff in you? Well, listen. If Mary could simply have an angelic visitor give her this kind of stimulation, what about us? She never saw anything like we saw. Hey, you weren't there, but take my word for it. Look at again, the Bible open before me. My hand raised to God, knowing there's a God in heaven. I'm telling you the truth. I'm before the white throne. You get this flat. You're not kidding with Lee Vale. And I'm kidding with you. I don't understand the seriousness of what I'm talking about to the sense. I'm not a prophet. But you better believe my words this morning carry the same weight that William Branham's does, because it's the same word. And how often did Brother Branham tell us? One time in Africa, 30,000. Over here, thousands of times. And it's titter, titter, titter. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, that William Branham. He's so cute, but he's so stupid. Now, science is, with Merkel, is right in the processes of life. And he says, there is a God, a creator. Yeah. Who's that idiot? Here's the science with the test tubes to prove it. That 2 and 2 make 4. From the beginning to the end. But there are none so blind as those who will not see. Listen to Mary. He has showed strength with his arm. Oh, God. Well, Mary might be talking about the great things like the passing of Israel through the Red Sea and all those great things. Hogwash. She was talking about him who had chosen her. The blessed amongst women. And this particular act, he is showing the strength with his arm. He's scattering the proud in their imagination. Says, oh yeah, virgin birth, my foot. You've been messing with a drunken Roman soldier. Now you're trying to palm it off on God. You think they didn't say that? Come on, that's history. He had put down the mighty from their seats, exalted them of low degree. The Sanhedrin is that plant on their faces. Rome is plant on his face. And Mary, a little woman, stands there. You talk about women's lib. You women get what Mary had. You'll be liberated. I'm not against women. You know it. I fight for you. Any woman here said that I hate women, you're liars. Right in your teeth, and you know it. Therefore, I think the liar's gone, so it's all right. Anybody else take that attitude? You can go, too. I won't miss you for 15 seconds. The spirit would be better. Everybody be happier. Okay. Exalted them below degree, he filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, his seed forever. Listen, she brings it to the present tense all the way from Abraham. As he spake to our fathers, Abraham, and his seed forever. She says, here I am. Why, they see a little prostitute. You stupid bunch of Branhamites. Oh, boy. Stick around here and you'll be hated. If you aren't, I'm sorry for you. Let's go to Luke, the second chapter. Let's read in verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him where the rest of the people gathered and had a good night's rest and so on. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, watching, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Like the angels came down to Brother Branham. Whoa, that's got dates mixed up. Everything, he's a liar. Ho, ho, ho. Well, ha, ha, ha. What about this record? See? Well, I just can't read everything in the Bible. But I do. I believe a fabulous crowd of angels came down, flapping their wings, the glory of God marvelous. See? And the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Unto you this is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. A virgin brings forth a baby that's the biggest thing in history. They said, oh, yeah, we know that virgin birth stuff. Yeah, yeah. The monks got with the nuns and they got pregnant, blamed it onto the gods. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We know all that stuff. Yeah. Oh, we know about angels. Yeah, we'd be a pill. Fine. We know about that stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You talk about reproach. This is reproach of Christ we're talking about now. We're not talking about reproach of Christ. You don't smoke with the gang and you don't flirt with the gang and commit adultery and sniff drugs and everything else. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the manifested word in the season. Bringing Christ back to a dedicated virgin bride of the word. Who are you guys anyway? I knew I felt good this morning for some reason. Just beginning to come on so I could have a spell. Oh, don't mind me. I just live around here. All right. And it came to pass as the angels were gone from them into heaven, the shepherds said one another, let's go now to Bethlehem and see what's going on, what's come to pass, which the Lord made known to us. And they came with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in a manger. And when they seen it, they said, we've been conned. I don't know what came to us, but believe me, this can't be it. But you know, I think I just might know the real thing when it comes, though. Oh, they felt they were conned, did they? Oh, when they saw it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And this shall be a sign, you shall know, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's why I don't want you to be afraid, because I'm bringing you great tidings of great joy. You've got to tell the people. And the sign is a little baby. Whose mother in the eyes of the world was a cheap little prostitute claiming she had a child by the Holy Ghost. Who's that bunch of jackass Branhamites to say they're going to bring forth Christ? What makes them think they're bride? Huh? They can think what they want. They wondered. The people wondered, but that's all they did. They just wondered. Does it say where they all flocked to go see him? Uh-uh. What's going on with that bunch? You know, really, this is about the nothingest con game you could ever think of. But the elect are not deceived. The elect have a simple faith. I'm going to tell you something. If God suckers people, I want to be suckered. You better believe it. Of course, you can use that word different ways. Sucker means to help, and sucker means to make a fool of. Mary was a beautiful, simple little girl. Bless her heart. As all she needed was to believe the word of the living God. Now, let's go to 25 to 38 and see some more things here. Yeah. As it's, And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, his name was Simeon. The same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, a lot of guys waited for the consolation, but the Holy Ghost wasn't on him. You know why? Wasn't time. Back in Dowie's day, they said, he's got to be Elijah, but he wasn't. But Dowie himself said, they'll trample this, the word under the streets of Zion for 40 years, and Brother Branham, right to the day, came there. He was Elijah, which was to come, and to the Gentiles, and to restore the word. Well, it's too simple. Why didn't he go to the big church and get an audience with the Pope and really turn the world on fire? That's not his job. When we come back, it's our job to turn the world on fire. These guys got everything all mixed up. Judgment, then fire sets in. We'll talk about that as time goes on. It's going to take time because I'm not in a rush. They wondered, but Mary kept all these things and pondered in her heart. Now this fellow down here, he said the Holy Ghost upon him that he should not see death till he had seen the Lord's Christ, that's the Messiah of God. And he came by the Spirit in the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to dwell him at the custom of law, circumcision. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, even the glory of thy people Israel. He came to Israel, but notice he goes to the Gentiles. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Now the first part happened, the second's about to happen. Israel is a sign. Pretty soon they're in their homeland now, pretty soon it'll be over. Yea, a sword shall also pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many... many hearts may be revealed. Notice that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He discerned, and he's discerned right in this hour. The same God that came in human flesh is the very same one. Now notice, why are they talking about Jesus discerning? He said, only I see what my Father shows me. I only tell what my Father tells me. Well, who's doing it? Jesus is doing it. What's behind Jesus? God. Oh, yeah. Behind every flower is a little germ of life. Find everything that moves, little germ of life. Didn't have to have. Even if God didn't indwell him 100%, it wouldn't have made any difference. It still would have been God doing it. Because you and I only have a modicum. Yeah, it's supposed to be God in us, both willing and doing his good pleasure. See? And then there was a little prophetess named Amanda, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. And she was very old. She'd lived with her husband 7 years in her virginity. And she was a widow about 84 years. My, a long time there, without even her husband. And she served God with fastings and prayers day and night. And she, coming in, gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of all those things that look for redemption in Jerusalem. See? And then it says, a child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And that's the story there. So what about us today? The prophet was God to the people, for the pillar of fire stood there with him and us, and even in him. So, if Mary could receive the word of God by an angel, and Eve turned the word of God down by God himself, we ought to realize that it's not the messenger that we look at and look toward, but the word itself. Because God can be right here, and you can turn his word down. He can manifest himself, and people go away. If the pillar of fire had shown himself to every single person in every crowd that Brother Branham had, they merely pin it down as phenomenon and say, well, something's there, but believe me, it's not what he said. Turn down God flatter than a fritter. In fact, they wouldn't turn the fritter down, they'd eat it. that just turned God down, period. So it doesn't matter if God himself stands here. It doesn't matter if Mary or an angel stands here. It doesn't matter if Moses stands here. It doesn't matter if Paul stands here. It doesn't matter who stands here. What matters is the Word. That's why he is the Word, and Rhema and Logos are one and the same thing. So, if we don't have any direct connection with the great manifestation, the great manifester, never seen the pillar of fire, every evidence points to the fact that something is at hand, and there's only one person really knows what is at hand, and that is the person manifesting it. Nobody else can know. I know people would like to think that they could get inside of you and inside of me. You can't do it. But when you saw Brother Branham, remember we talked about the discerning right here. It happened back there. It happened in this day. It's right here in the Scripture. The hearts of many be fully examined wide open. And Brother Branham said, you couldn't hide if you tried and proved it. What was behind that man? Now the point is, what you're looking at is, people are not going to receive the Word of God by some visual manifestation. They just can't do it. It's either in them to receive it, or it's not in them. You're elect or you're not elect. Now, so what we're looking at again is not the messenger, even Brother Branham, although he is concerned here. We're looking at the Word. So now we're going to go and read a part of paragraph 77, I guess it is, on page 22, and then we're going to continue. But when it came to Mary, it was different. Now, he's talking about Eve. We've been talking about. She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. How's it going to be? Now, Brother Branham said, that doesn't matter how it's going to be. Now, I want you to notice here, though, that is true. This woman was answered. God didn't say, you just blew it right there, girl. The angel didn't say, you blew it. She didn't turn the word down. And she didn't turn to another word. She merely desired an answer as to what you might call the mechanics. That's a kind of a bad word. The process. She just wanted a little further information on her own part. About her part, I think that's the way it was. And you notice when she used what they call the Magnificat, when she was praising God, she gets back into the Old Testament, which is completely a record of examples and illustration. Now, she wasn't denying. No way, shape, and form. Now, if you'll notice here, Brother Branham has constantly typed the two women, especially Mary, as the virgin bride. And so, therefore, she will be our example, though the Paul talks of Sarah as the mother of us who are the children of Abraham. But Brother Branham, being a prophet, has every right to do this, the one that brought forth Christ into the world. Now, you can go back in the Old Testament, and you can see how that God did things, and you're looking in retrospect, you're looking back on history. But evidently nobody really had the correct answer to this scripture, except she had been taught a virgin, a young woman, is going to have a child, and that one's going to be Messiah. And Brother Branham said every father looked at his own daughter and like pointing, that's the one. Now, just a minute. Do you think all of those men had a revelation there's going to be born without male intervention? If that is the case, how come they're so happy to marry him off? Why didn't every father say, no, my daughter's not going to get married. No way, I'm waiting for God to impregnate her. Well, you know that's not true. So Brother Branham wasn't saying that. He was just saying Israel knew it. But he told you that God reveals or interprets His word by manifesting it. And this was the manifestation. The angel came and said, "This is how. Now you know the scripture." And she went right ahead and bore that child. No more talk, no more whimpering, no more nothing. See? So, it doesn't matter. Now, to you and me, under the ministry of Brother Branham, he is telling us very simply and plainly, with all of our knowledge that has come with all of our background, and you can see this in Hebrews, the 6th chapter again, therefore leaving the principles of the Logos of Christ, which we are thoroughly inured and understand thereby. We are here. And he said, now let us go on to the ultimate, the perfection, the conclusion. Using the background of where Brother Branham is, and we are, have been, and are going on to this ultimate. He is telling us very flat, it doesn't matter how it's done. Now, this is necessary for us to know, because we have the propensity of the inquiring, reasoning mind, hoping that you can get something to add to this word to make it a little better. Now, a woman came to Brother Branham one day, and he said, this lady wants to receive the Holy Ghost, but she'd like something a little more encouraging. She'd like to speak in tongues. Now, when the thing is laid on the table, if tongues is not an evidence, why do you want it? What encouragement is it for you to receive the Holy Ghost that way, when indeed you don't receive the Holy Ghost that way? Now, Brother Branham sweetly prayed that the Lord would give her something. Now, she's depending on tongues. She's just one step from being a tongues talker, which says tongues is the Holy Ghost, not an evidence. Years ago, they knew it was an evidence, but not anymore. Tongues is it. That's why they went with the Ecumenical Society. They're 100% with Rome. And Demas Shikarian took them there, a Pentecostal. It's all right. In our day, it should be, you have spoken it. It's the word of the Lord, I receive it. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me, even as thy word. Now that is individual, but never forget it's collective. Because Mary does not describe you and me as individuals. She is the one Brother Branham is holding forth as the bride. The true bride in distinction to the church. See, Mary never played prostitute. Eve played prostitute. Jehovah's bride played prostitute. The early church went prostitute. But there's going to be a bride at the end time that believes, and they will not worry because they know it is the word. There it was. That settled it. And she was all right then. Now, Eve was not all right. Because the word of God, God himself bringing it to her, never satisfied her. Now, if you can be satisfied concerning that picture there, which is an actual scientific proof of the presence of a supernatural being, as Brother Branham said, same today, talking about God going down to Egypt with Moses, signs and wonders, appearing in signs and wonders. But he went beyond appearing in signs and wonders. That's nature. God's appeared in nature, forget it. God himself appeared in a pillar upon Mount Sinai, so today, and we have his picture, and it is scientific. Now there's the real one, and one make two. Because the true mind will say, there's got to be a God. Even if you don't get past the point of creator. Now a person that imbues his mind with God as creator is going to be, it's just one door from God as an object of worship. He's going to be looking for something. So, all right. That said of it. And she was all right then. Now, notice the rightness. The word righteous means rightness. The bride accepting that thus saith the Lord of this hour is the righteous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, who didn't even do it. Didn't even do what? Reject. Wants the word of God mitigated. That's eased from you. On board of God's too hard in me. Well, all right, the creeds and dogmas take care of you. Okay. The path of faith is a passive path of a passive faith. And Mary said, be it unto me, according to thy word, that saith it. Now, if you say, well, I just don't know. I just don't know that. Which many do. That signifies it's not too good. You can't be like Mary in the Magnificat. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his maiden. What's the low estate of the maiden this hour? Wretched, miserable, blind, naked, but puffed up with an arrogant pride that is false as a $3 bill. Even worse, because a $3 bill would have a little paper value. You know, you could wash the dye out and turn it into, or don't have to wash it, you can put it in a shredder and make pretty good insulation in your walls. So what do you think? What am I thinking of people's faith to turn the word down? They don't have any. They're antichrist. So, all right. Now, reading. See, she brought forth that germ of life that was the word of God made manifest. Well, how did it start? It started with the word. And the word spoken had to take on a form. It took on the form of the sperm, which contained the life of God himself. And that's not hard, because we have the life of God ourselves too, in these earthen vessels. We were brought forth, formed as men. And so that word that came forth at that time, that spoken seed word, that one that was the seed that was to rule the earth and all. Remember, Eve turned it down. Now this one is brought forth. The word of God now is manifest in the form of a man. And that's exactly true. And through the death of that just one, paid the debt for every one of us that's unjust. And by accepting then, his word brings life and brings Christ back in us, because Christ is the word, the spoken word. Now, I'm going to look at that, because I would have an argument with that if I didn't believe that Brother Branham was speaking of the bride. Now, when you speak of the bride, you speak of the body. It's the same as the Christian coming up to the fullness, as the church ages do from 1 Peter. I'm not going to... the 1 Peter, 2 Peter. Maybe it's 2 Peter, I forget. But anyway, it's there. Now, here what I'm looking at. I want you to see what I'm looking at. And by accepting then, now, an adverb is usually why, when, how. And you got the thought of when. So, I don't believe that Brother Branham is using the term as we often use it and say, well, then, and we pass over using the thought as like a little conclusion. I'm looking at this as the season. See? Because this is related to this hour. And by accepting then, she accepted then. She couldn't accept before, and she couldn't accept after. She accepted then. There again, I say, if you're of that crowd that believes, if this isn't the real thing, you're looking for something else, forget it. Don't even come near me. Don't come near me. I won't go near you on your deathbed. Don't you call for me. I won't call for you by the grace of God. Because this is not between you and me. This is between you and God, me and God. So let's get that flat. See? You understand what I'm saying? It's not simply then. Like you're going to say, well, then so-and-so. It's then, and we're talking about the season. Because he's talking here about the word of God being manifested in human form, and he distinctly says, William Branham said, that happens again at the last time. Then.
You respond or forget it. I've seen what that then stuff does. Makes you liars and thieves, everything else. Let's get that flat. I'm not kidding. I'm not necessarily throwing off on anybody. I'm telling you the truth. Look what Eve then did. A lying, antichrist, thieving murderer. Worshipping God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. If I ever saw a Pentecostal believer, I saw it right there in Cain. And I'm old enough to know what denominations are all about because I've been through enough of them. By accepting then, His Word brings life and brings back Christ in it. I'll ask you a question. If it brings back Christ in you, when did He leave you as an individual? Did you have Christ in backslide? Did He get disgusted and walk off? I want to know answers, because I can't believe that Brother Branham, prophet of God, is giving you some kind of jingoism here. If you're a sheep, you're a sheep, you're a sheep, you're a sheep. And you don't turn into a goat, and then turn back to a sheep. Forget it. It's the dog that goes to his vomit, and the hog to the wallow, because they always were, but they put on a pretense. And all tables full of vomit is dominational creeds and dogmas and messed up words, and no matter how righteous and beautiful, it's still vomit. So then it says, by accepting in the season, you bring Christ back to the church. Why? Because He's outside of the church. You follow why I'm reading this a certain way? Merciful God, if I ever lost the seed, if I'm a seed of God and I lost it, what is going on here? Well, Brother Bailey, you could turn from a wise virgin to a foolish. Well, just a minute. That doesn't make sense. Then the pattern screwed up. I've got a God who puts a pattern on a piece of cloth of life and said, oh, well, I blew that one, didn't I? That may be Santa Claus making toys at the North Pole. But it sure ain't my God in this Bible here. Now, I'm sorry I got to preach this way. If I don't, you're not going to see it. You're just going to go over your heads. Because I'm a nice guy. I preach nice little tiddlywink things. Then betray you behind your back and everything else. Yeah, I mean it. I'm sick and tired of all this junk. I really believe when we're in the process of attrition, the seed will soon be gone. The Brother Band said the seed is 1/1000th of 100%. I think that's the words he used. It brings Christ back in us because Christ is the Word, the spoken Word. Now, other terminology, Brother Branham doesn't use that terminology concerning the individual. He talks of the water of the Holy Spirit bringing life to the seed. So this is not individual. You might want to place it to a degree. And notice he says, because Christ is the Word, the spoken Word. And William Branham is talking spoken Word as a prophet. For believe me, when Job spoke the spoken Word concerning that resurrection, it was already spoken of in Genesis before, maybe hundreds of thousands of years before Job was born. Concerning the seed of the woman who would bring about the resurrection. In other words, Job verbalized it at that point. Therefore, whatever Brother Branham verbalizes at this point is that spoken word to the bride. And receiving it brings Christ back to her. Why? Because he's not going to marry anybody but pure word. Because he is pure word. His body's got to be pure word. And remember, Brother Branham said, you bypass that word or spirit body. The bypassing of it means nothing. If you die, you go to it. All right. Notice, and it will mature if you can receive it. He's talking now about Mary receiving, matured to a baby that came forth, and then fulfilled the exact word of all the prophets. And she had a part in it. And you and I and the bride have a part in it today, bringing back Christ. Then watch how all the things said of the prophet concerning the millennium and all those things come right to pass, because there's a bride here that believed that the tree of life standing here. Do what you want with it. If you think this message is some little toasty thing, you're crazy. This is living word. I know you can die sitting here because you think you can think anything like the guys. Oh, yeah. Dozens can be sitting here. You'll die under this ministry because you don't have a clue to it. You've got to have somebody screaming and jumping and everything else. Well, hey, I'm too old to jump and I can scream a little bit, but I'm not too interested. So, you see, as I look at this thing, I am not looking at this except in the intensity of the definitive. And there's two lines of words that describe two different things. One is the individual and one is the bride, and we're talking bride. That's right. 79 paragraph. Now, all of us believe that we're in the end time. Any man that's intelligent, I believe, if he would look around and see, it shows this thing can't go on much longer. I want about 15 minutes now to show what I mean. Anyone knows that something's got to happen. I left out here about the sick. Anybody the sick, you just received the promise of God, it matures in you. And if you're faithful believing it, it'll come right forth in divine healing. And he was bringing that to the crowd. It's just the same as the principle that brings forth this Christ to the bride. It's all over. And you get your resurrected body and so on. Now, he's talking about the fact that everybody knows we're hitting the end of time. We are taught that the world is... Here's his little story, his illustration. We're taught the world is created in 6,000 years, being one day as 1,000 years with God. The 6,000 years in creation. All right, 6 days is called... The Bible says one day is 1,000 years, or 1,000 years is one day with God. So there's 6,000 years in creation. Now, the first 2,000 years, the world cosmos, world order, came to an end, and God had to send something. Now watch, the judgments from heaven, and judge the earth in judgment, and save the righteous, Noah and his family. Now watch, I want you to watch the language. This is not the language of some little Kentucky hillbilly, although it sure is. But notice, judgments, judge, judgment, righteous, Noah. In other words, the judge himself comes down. And the judge judges as to who is righteous and who isn't. And remember, 8 people made the ark. That's all. Now, Noah was not kind-hearted to go beyond the word of God and bring in either 10 bunk beds or 5 double beds. He brought in 4 double beds or 8 bunks, or they all slept on the floor. But there's only room for 8 people. No more. Now you got a clue right there. You say, well, I just don't like a God like that. Who asked you to? See, you can love a God of your own imagination. Everybody does. How do you love this God in this Bible revealed by His Word and vindicated to be so? See, that's the thing you're looking at. Say, I love God and hate His Word, that's a lie. Say, I've got the Holy Ghost and then can't amen every word that's vindicated. Now remember, there's a word for the season, a word for the hour. It's not way back there in Pentecost. We're not back there anymore. We're not back in Wesley's day. We're not back in Luther's day. We're not back in the Catholic Church. We've come full circle. We've come to full circle to Ephesus where it went off a track. The bullet's back. There's no more another Jesus, another Spirit, another Gospel. This is it. And that's the time they could have had a rapture, but the bride wasn't all in. The bride's all in. So there's a bride that's going to believe the word that brings Christ back. Eve got rid of the tree of life. Mary brought the tree of life in human manifestation form. He cleared that way. The bride went into adultery again. She is divorced. That church is divorced. And the bride is standing right here waiting for the point of maturation when Christ can come to her. He can't. Until the voice is thoroughly believed and thoroughly processed in a bride here. So she is nothing but word. When you talk about word and senses, now you know we're still a long way, but we're not that long away. If you have the full potential and you have the promise of God and God has obligated himself to it, all you can do is rest. And you can even do that when you're full of pain and suffering. You can do that when you're full of ignorance and ideas that are even contrary. You can just say, well, like Mary, be it unto me. Be it unto me. I'm sorry. They're saying this, they're saying that. They're trying to make me examine myself. Forget it. Be it unto me. Be it unto me. Be it unto me. Behold your handmaid. Behold your handmaid. Be it unto me. Say, my God, what a stupid church. Certainly a stupid church according to the world. Bible distinctly says the wisdom of God is dumb to man. But I'm going to tell you another thing. The smartness of man is pretty dumb to God. Here you are again. I told you about the man counting the horse's teeth. The horse decided to count his fingers. I'd sooner be the horse counting the guy's fingers. That's the way God is. Well, the horse signifies power. You'll get your fingers counted all right. Now he says here, and God sent at the end of that 2,000 years judgment from heaven and judge the earth in judgment. And save the righteous Noah and his family. Now watch something here. He said judgment from heaven. Now the Bible categorically says if a man sin against a man, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against thee, O God, who shall plead for him? All right. Come on, church. Where's your pleading this morning? What are you pleading this morning? I'm pleading the blood of Jesus. Prove it. Prove it. The blood doesn't mean a thing to you unless you're baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now prove you're baptized with the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. Devils can speak in tongues too. Hypocrites and liars speak in tongues more than anybody else. For one honest to God Christian that speaks in tongues, I only tell you there's a million, there's 100,000 out there that, that ain't my books. Judgment. Well, that's the judge from heaven. Now I ask you a question. How many preachers are preaching the judge? We preach the presence of Brother Bay. Oh, he's always been here. That's what Ann's brother says up there in Canada. Always been here? Always been here? That can only come here when William Branham's here on earth. He's always been here on earth? Oh, come on. You're weird. You're weird. You see, you got the mind of Christ? And you want me to fellowship? Oh, come on. What fellowship of light with darkness? How can one person believes all the word, have fellowship with him, but only believes a part of it, and then believes it wrong at that? Hey? Well, it's only a doctrine, just like serpent seed. You mean to tell me this is just like serpent seed? This picture here, I shouldn't even touch it, maybe. Like serpent seed? In other words, that's a revelation. That's not a revelation, that's a revelator. Can't tell an egg from a chicken. Judgment from heaven. And judge the earth in judgment. And save the righteous Noah and his family. Brother Branham also said, Genesis 18 was Hebrews 13 and 8. When God stood outside the tent and Sarah in the tent, and she made God a liar. You talk about infinite love by reason of the husband, which was Abraham. He couldn't touch her. God couldn't touch her because she's part of Abraham. That's what marriage does. How in the world can anybody lay a finger on the bride of Jesus Christ and put her through the tribulation? Come on, tell me. How can God turn over the beloved bride, a part of Him, to Satan? You think for one minute God wants His bride impregnated with the creeds and dogmas and twisting of Satan, the gyrations He puts the word through? Forget it. And what does He do? By reason of judgment, and only by reason of judgment can the bride be saved. The very fact that God has an Alpha Omega word cannot be added to or taken from makes Him judge above all else. He gives, He interprets, He administers. Stand back and wonder and say, behold the handmaiden of God. All right. The second 2,000 years, the same thing took place again. Cosmos or world order. And even the church was polluted. Pollution today is a major condition. Pollution doesn't prefigure, it actually configures or brings to pass the judgment of God. Notice in Genesis the 6th chapter, verse number 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was greater in the earth, and that every imagination, that's the reasonings of his heart, was only evil continually. See? That's what was there. And he repented God, he'd made man on the earth, and grieved him at his heart. The Lord God said, I'll destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and fowl of the air, for he repenteth me that I have made them. Now I'm going to look at this in a new light this morning. So just bear with me while I look at it. Huh? It repented God, he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I'll destroy the man whom I have created. I want you to know Adam was not really created, he was born. There's only a part of him that went down, part of him formed. When God breathed in the breath of life, the breath of lives, and man became a living soul, that was a part that wasn't created. So therefore only the true seed of God ate. Went through that ark, and remember, the number one man, you call him eight, because he step up, husband, wife, he was the only true, genetically perfect human being there was. The rest were an admixture within their flesh, but they were still seed. All right, that's what God had to get rid of. And he did get rid of it. God notices that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? He was the one perfectly genetic, perfect man. And he was just, that's what it says right here, he was just and perfect genetically in his generation. And he walked with God. Notice what you have to be. You have to be a righteous man. You have to be one that is definitely the seed of Almighty God. You have to walk with God. Now that's what the people of God are doing in this hour. There's something wrong somewhere. Okay. We're down 11 to 17. Now listen, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Now why is the earth full of corruption? It came because of sex. And sex is corrupting the earth right now, which is homosexuality, lesbianism, all those things. They're laughing and saying, hey, you guys, you're going to put up with this, and we're going to control you, and we're going to run you, and when we get into trouble with our bodies, you're going to pay the bills, and we're going to see that you make us well, but we're going to do what we want. And they're doing it. And don't think they're not. And all this talk you hear about, it's not rampant, is a life in the pit of hell. It is rampant. But you can make the world believe anything it wants to believe. Just listen to Daniel Shore and the rest of the great 70 of the Sanhedrin of the world. You know right today that Daniel Shore and these guys are believe more than the Pope is? Of course, I wouldn't believe the Pope either. You take me for a sucker? What's he got to believe? What's he produced? Nothing. Nothing. He got shot and survived? Hey, man. A lot of you get worse than that. They get their guts blown out and they survive. He ducked it one time, he got hit another time. You can find a lot of guys that ducked many times and never got hit. What's all this talk about divine providence, some stupid little thing out there, because you wear a fisherman's ring and a goofy hat on your head and a stupid bunch of clothes, and you, I'm the great man. Well, I'd sooner go see Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey and a couple of clowns. What do they call, Emmett? Kelly? Any old day. Yeah. At least one doesn't pretend he's Christ in his three-winged circus. All right, listen, right here it tells you the condition of the earth is polluted. And the earth is polluted right now, and there's no way you can bring it back. How are you going to bring it back? What are you going to do with the bayous down there in Louisiana? Come on, tell me. Love Canal polluted, go down around the Baton Rouge, it is the red stick. Go down the red stick and find what's down there. Right, Joe? Polluted? You couldn't drink the water if you tried. Like Zwonko said, it's a complete pollution. The day of Noah, they mocked and made fun of him. He preached 120 years in the door of the ark. And in the second 1,000 years, the church went into captivity, committed whoredom with the world, and it became nothing but a bunch of forms and creeds. And God sent judgment to the earth by sending his son. Came to the end of its powers. Judge. Now notice Brother Branham is in the vernacular hitting the judge. You know? Like when the Hearst papers wanted to make Billy Graham great, they said, Puff Graham. That meant every newspaper talk about Billy. Every newspaper talk about Billy. And all across America, the papers talked about Billy. He was made. Now, I'm asking a question. Did God make Billy Graham? I believe in the same way he used Zionism to put the Jews back into the homeland. But Billy Graham and Oral Roberts are simply messengers down at Sodom and Gomorrah. How much are they talking? Billy drew his horns in years ago and he said, a man rapes a woman, ought to be castrated. Oh, the most wonderful Christians, full of the Holy Ghost, no doubt. They got right on Billy's tail and said, oh, don't you dare say that. A man wants to rape women. That's good fun. We'll do it. My Bible said he should be killed. Right, he should be killed. That's the Bible. Don't try to change it. He should be killed. But let me tell you, when David got king and was his boy, it was another story. Boys will be boys. Don't give me that stuff. See, I don't care two bits for any prophet or any king. Jesus was the only one that ever lived it. So talk about Jesus. And I've got one job, that's to believe him. And that's where it puts those other guys too. They believed. So how could a believer believe that, do that? Well, people do funny things. I mean, queer things. He got licked for it, don't worry. He didn't get any brownie marks for it. He didn't get any approbation for it, don't worry. Neither do we. He paid, and he paid good. Let's read about the judge. Let's go to the fifth chapter of John. And there was this great feast, and a man lay by the pool that had the five porches. And you know, if the first man got down when the angel from the water, he got healed. And this poor guy could not get down there. And Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole? The man said, I'd love to have somebody put me there, but I'm just too slow. Somebody gets ahead of me. So Jesus said, hold it, man. Take up your bed and walk. And he picked up his bed and walked. You know something? That man's like Mary. He didn't have to think twice. When people look around, they got to think twice. Now, Jimmy, let me see if I can examine that. Now, how does that line up with Dr. So-and-so and the Pope? Oh, man, don't tell me Gentiles have a prophet. The Bible's written. Oh, man. Then how come Moses wrote the Pentateuch and said, don't add one word or take one word? Why don't they say to the rest of the prophets, forget it, bud, there ain't nothing to it. Why didn't they? Because you get the word by prophets, and prophets are vindicated. You know them. Oh, man, listen. Take up your bed and walk. Immediately, the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. Same day, Sabbath. And the Jews said, hey, why are you carrying your bed? That's unlawful. Well, he said, I don't know about you. Well, he said, hold it now, hold it. I'm healed. Now, if I wasn't supposed to carry my bed, and I'm healed so I can do it, man, there's got to be something funny with this religion I'm listening to. I think this man's got more in the ball than those guys got. Ha! When I saw that, I knew it. There went denominations down the drain when I saw William Branham that night in Canada, who said, bring me 20, I think 25, your worst cases. I guarantee miracles for everyone. Exploded my mind. God, I felt bad when they didn't do it. Then later, years later, I realized there wasn't one person out of the hundreds that didn't get perfectly healed. See, God will trump your ace every time, my brother, sister, when he allows you a question and you answer wrong. They should have said, Brother Branham, by all means, hallelujah. But one guy got the itch and said, I might be that 60% that gets healed. I might be one of them. Yeah, yeah, maybe me. Yeah, yeah. He blew it. That vast crowd blew it. Oh, yeah, I know I was there, brother. Said, don't tell me I was there in 1947. Yeah, I was there. Sat right in the back row, saw everything. Yeah. I'd been roped in to go. Oh, God, here I am. Pentecostals. Healing, who needs it? I did, but I wouldn't admit it. I didn't come with it anyway. I was like this guy at the pool. Crippled. Mentally, spiritually. It was too much for him. Too much for him. Too much for him. So they said, hey, just a minute. This is all wrong. So they tried to slay Jesus. They sought to kill him. Because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but also he said God was his father, making himself equal with God. Now they understood what I'm talking about here, which is the birthright. If this Jesus was literally the Son of God in a way that no other person was the Son of God, meaning the only begotten, then he was equal with God. Now, you can't be equal with yourself. This paper cannot be equal with this paper. There's got to be another piece of paper. Then Jesus is not God. He's the Son of God. When all power was given him, his name was on the check. And he could spend everything in the kingdom. He had it. It was given to him, the adoption. Just like Adam. You got to marvel how wonderful the Son of God is when you realize he never changed. He always listened to the Father. He always heard the Father. Let the Father operate. Just let God have his way. Couldn't even be high priest without the prophet. No high priest. Brother, sister, get this flat, as I said Wednesday. You cannot have a high priest. You cannot have a mediator to get you in. You cannot have an intercessor to get you in unless there's a prophet. Oh, brother, I don't believe that. Why don't you go home and leave me alone? I say those things to barb you, to shock you, to get you to understand what I'm driving at. You ain't even, listen, you're not dry behind the ears. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now let's read on. Then they answered and said, truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. Whatsoever things he doeth, these do also the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and shows him all things that himself doeth. You mean God doesn't love us and he did all this for us? And if you don't love that because of that, you don't have the love of God in you. You know, cats don't like dogs and dogs don't like cats. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. Just a minute here. There's a conflict of interest. This man's a liar. Unless he doesn't change. Because one place he said, I only say what my Father says, and I only do what my Father wants me to do. Now he turns around and says, forget all that, he said. I'll tell you what I'm going to do now. The Father raises up and quickens, so I'm going to do the same thing now. I have my way. He just told you his way was God's way. Ain't no way but God's way. Don't talk about the Son having his way. And you and me praying to the Son, if that doesn't work, say, Mary, Mary, Mother Divine, oh, Holy Mother, give your Son a pinch to pinch the Father. You can't twist Jesus' arm, and Jesus' mother can't twist his arm, so don't you try to twist her arm. Let the Pope try. You know, he's not riding on a white horse, he's riding on the beast. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It never changes. Never changes. God has his way, period. And without God having a word, he can't be judge. But the minute he has a word, he is judge. And I'm trying to show you the major role of God today is judge. And judge is a separator by the word. On the right hand he puts the sheep. On the left hand he puts the goats. Always the right hand is blessing. We'll talk about that when you get to it. Again. The left hand is judgment, death. Now, these have been judged on their right hand. Come thou blessed, righteous. You never did in the first place. Go, depart from me. We're before the white throne right now. We're before the judge. Oh, come on. Can't you understand that this morning? Let your own thinking go for God's sake. For your own sake. Never mind God's sake. He's got his will done. Let your thinking go. He said, well, Brother Bill, my reason tells me. Yeah, your reason. Your reason is what's killing you. I am before the white throne. Explain it. Shut up. Get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not in the explaining business. I'm in the teaching business. And the teaching of the Word of God is a faith proposition that says exactly what it means. And it doesn't go any further. Let's understand a few things. Has committed all judgment, Son, that all men should honor the Son even as he honored the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father which sent him. Jesus was not his own Father. Truly just said, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come to condemnation. But how come he can say that? Because all he has is what the Father shows him and what the Father tells him. And he does likewise. So the next guy in line is 100% representing God and is God to the people. William Branham and every prophet is God to the people. And I know that our lovely brethren, so-called full of the Holy Ghost tonight, because, Brother Dale, I got some too. Yeah, I got some too. Yeah, they said that, and he brought them right to the Catholic Church, I know. The hour is coming now, it's the dead hear the voice of the Son of God. Uh-huh, Son of God. And before they hear the voice of the Son of God and live, my brothers and sisters, it's the days of the Son of Man, repeat, right? For the Father had life in himself, so he's given the Son to have life in himself. Come on, don't you understand that? God is in it. There's not two kinds of eternal life. There's only one kind of eternal life. And he divides it into portions. Because life exists, life is, and all it needs is a form. And God could, if God wanted his life to be in a human form, he could have trillions and trillions and trillions of human forms, and it wouldn't exhaust one kind any more than sexual intercourse exhausts a man and destroys him. Now, do you understand anything? The baptizer in baptism? If you can't let your husband tell you how you got pregnant. What happened to the male after intercourse? Tell me. Was a part of him gone? No. Not really. And yet. Who is the impregnator? The husband. Who's the baptizer? Who got impregnated? Who got the Holy Ghost? Where is the great mystery people talk about? Blind. And set themselves up as judges when the judge himself is here. Didn't Brother Brown explain spiritual intercourse? Didn't he tell you? That the church refused? Now he booted the church out? And he talked about Ahasuerus and Esther? the queen that refused the husband? Oh, we're bringing God down to nature. Are you startled? I hope I don't feel sorry for you people that you're so thin somewhere you can't penetrate this. Listen, we're entering beyond the veil today. We're inside the veil. And we're not going beyond it, by the way. Pentecostals, they've deserted the word. They've gone beyond. Well, that's not the word anymore. We just what? We just blew it, is what they should have said. Don't get too angry. Just stick with it. Listen, the Father is light. And the Son has light. What is it? There's the Father's life in that Son. And it given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now watch it. Son of Man is prophet. And you can't have a prophet without judge. And God is his own prophet. It was God who came down. That's it. God. There's his picture taken. The pillar of fire actually is the Shekinah glory, which means the glory attendant upon the presence. And he's behind that fire. Judge. You know something? The most curdling word in the world today is judge. It's a word that curdles your blood. But hey, if there's nothing against you, don't worry. You say, Brother Bill, they could still hurt me. That's called persecution, not prosecution. There's a difference to be persecuted or prosecuted. Prosecuted means you either did it or they think you did. Persecution means they hate you. Not so much for what you do, but what you say. Because what you say knocks the props from under them. Well, who do you think you are? You got the truth. Well, go back to your forefathers, you Baptists, when you're back there Baptists. What did they think? They had it all. And what about the Lutherans? They had it all. And what about the Pentecostals? They had it all. And I got to agree with you. A certain number do have it all. Another certain number have part. Another certain number has nothing. God, there you are in threes again. I'm not preaching my own gospel, brother, sister. I never got this from Lee Dale's head. I got this listening to Brother Branham. Sure. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which they that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Now it says an hour. And we're talking about a season. Hour and season, doesn't matter. And they'll come forth that have done good unto resurrection life, and they've done evil unto resurrection to damnation or condemnation or judgment. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. Notice there again. He just spilled the beans on himself. He stands here and he said, my Father's got it all. And I've got all from the Father. I stand here. He said, hold it. He said, oh, remember this one thing. It's always the Father. So you hear that term. Brother Branham used it. I don't know if I like the term too well when it comes to kenosis, because not that Brother Branham used it wrong, or anybody uses it wrong, but the people take it wrong in my books. God poured everything into Christ, and there's nothing left but God. It's all gone. Then God, Jesus Christ, pours it all in the church. Now there's no Christ. So the church is gone. Forget it. He's not saying that. How could he be? We're looking at the same thing now. Judgment. Forgiving of sins. And Brother Brown, God's Jesus says here, he poured it into me. So now, through me. And Brother Branham says, now, into the church. And Brother Branham said, hey, the church says John 3:16. Why don't they go to John 20 now and talk about him who said, I'm giving you authority to forgive sins. God's doing it. God's doing it. Using instruments. Oh my. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There's another bears witness of me. What's he saying? I'm the prophet. And don't you understand, if I'm not that prophet, God doesn't answer back to me? Listen, there's God and his prophet right there. And the point of the matter is, God is the prophet. William Branham stands as judge. He said, I condemn this generation. No, not William Branham. God did it. Oh, come on, brother, sister. Oh, they come from the east and west, sing it. They come from the land
upon to feast with the King, to dine as His guests. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding His hallowed face.
Sing it.
With light divine, blessed partakers of His grace. Will shine.
See, I can't sing. You can't sing here. But you need to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Listen, brother, sister. This is it. We went to Jeffersonville. We sang it down there. They came from around the world. And I'm going to tell you what. They're still looking around the world for the light. We're not the light. We're not Brother Branham down there. We have the same thing that old Brother Branham brought us. We're not going to turn back from it. Now we're going to close with this. He said, now, and God sent judgment to the earth by sending His Son, come to the end of His powers. And He's right there, you'll notice. Now, another corruption sets in. Now, this is in 1962. What does the Bible say? The Bible said in the last days that the work would have to be cut short. The Scriptures cannot lie. For the elect's sake. For the elect's sake. Or there should be no flesh saved. See? We're at the end of time. Okay. Plague. What's the beginning of your plagues? The last plague is second death, and it's got to have a type, and I say that's AIDS. And I say without fear of equivocation, I can be proven wrong, because this is just Lee Dale talking. But examining the results of what I've seen by Dr. Merkel's study, and what I've examined the results of what I've seen in other areas, I believe with all of my heart, this is it, because there was sex in the garden that brought death, and sex again must bring that last death. For I don't know anything about the Bible and the causes, the first cause and the last. You do what you want. And our kids are going to do it anyway. You can't tell them if they're not seed. What are you going to do? I put this church on the spot time after time after time. Deal with your children. I didn't have to do it in my generation. I'm not trying to be mean and bad to you. I'm just saying, look, you are, without a doubt, you and your kids are the last ones. You're the last ones. My generation and our kids, though they weren't out there doing the things that brought on these diseases, they're a part of those generations that have brought it to you and to your kids. Now, if you're going to shine like lights in this world, those children have to come against all these things that are out there. Now, let's get this flat. My Bible tells me distinctly, God cannot change. He said, when you see an obstreperous child back in the old days and that child would not line up, He said, don't let your eye pity and don't you hold your hand back. You go to the elders, lay the hands on them, and stone them with stones that they will not bring a rebellious force into Israel. God kept His people clean. If we, you and I, don't do that with our children or anybody else, we are kept clean by the blood of the Lamb and by this word in here that the prophet gave us. And to shun these things. And if Brother Branham taught us anything about marriage and divorce, he said, there's one man for one woman. Now, I know death can change those things. I know we make mistakes and all. Those things can happen where we try to rectify. But remember this, keeping yourself to monogamy, to the marriage that is correct, and the children growing up in that admonition is the only way it can be stemmed. And even then at the end time, you don't know that you're not going to get messed up like those poor little kids with hemophiliacs that got injections, like Ash, the tennis player. Why did that man die? How come Acer infected Bergalis down there in Florida, five or six other people, deliberately infected with AIDS with his blood? A lot of these things you and I, but I'm going to tell you what, my Bible said, though 1,000 fall at your left hand, and 10,000 your right, it shall not come nigh thee. Thou shalt only see it with thine eye. You know, brothers and sisters, time to get back to this word of Brother Branham preacher. Don't let anything else cross your mind. Don't have any other thoughts but the revealed word of this hour. I don't see anything else. Why I see this message so clearly as I do, it is the only thing that can possibly appeal to me by reason of Scripture and even by reason of taking the Scripture and holding it out here in all nature. There isn't anything as clear-cut as this to separate the redeemed from the lost. And you know something? The Word has always done it. It's never changed. Let's rise and be dismissed. All right. Heavenly Father, we come again to you this morning, closing moments, getting away to go to our home dinners, whatever else. We thank you that you were with us here. It didn't cover too many pages, but we believe, Lord, shortly we can read very rapidly and cover those things in there. But it's always good to go over and over and over, Lord, until it becomes such a dynamic part of us. We cannot think apart from what this word is. Think of Judge. We must think of him who is here. Understand why he is here, what he is doing, what are the consequences, where are we going now. All revealed to us in this holy word, Lord. Oh God, we just pray, Lord, that you'll take your divine spike and let all the air out of our tires, all the hot air we might have around us in our head or any place else or in our hearts. Let it all go, Lord. Circumcise our heart like the of unbelief, like the onion it is, till every single layer is gone. We get right down to the very soul itself, the gene of God. And then feed that, Lord, and feed it on the everlasting word, the word of this hour, that the body itself may come forth in it as a transmuted thing, Lord, as a transfigured possession of thine. For, Lord, in heaven we know that somebody has got to be bride because there's somebody out there. We know that this is too definitive. We don't care what the big mouths say with their lack of even common sense that would try to make two and two make four and a half. The way they do in evolution, the preacher get up there and change the word of God and boast about something that they couldn't even begin to come to what we know came to the prophet's life. It wouldn't even qualify, Lord, as a dung heap hardly, although Paul did call it that. And here we are, Lord, in this day of such an awakening and such a difference, such a judgment. God, I hope there's nothing wrong with this. That we aren't absolutely more sincere and powerful in our attitudes and are moving down the highway until we are that army that you said in Joel, every man facing, every man going forward, leaping over the wall, a rapture. These things, Lord, taking place in people's lives, not trying to be somebody or do some great thing, but believing, Lord, believing. And that part coming forth, even as Mary came forth in Magnificat. Lord in heaven, the church has got to be like her, this end time bride. And I believe individuals in like manner will be in their particular order just as qualified and just as dynamic because you said, don't you dare let the oil wasten. as Brother Branham called it, the oil of God and the stimulation, the wine, the stimulation, Lord. We're looking forward to that spirit. Now, Lord, we know that you hear our prayer. We know that positively because we know to whom we're praying and you know us, we believe, because of this that would be the evidence. And so hearing our prayer, Lord, we go on our way in blind faith, Lord God, somehow with every thought away from ourselves and anything else and unto you and your word and thereby judging, scanning, seeing, and walking in that light, Lord, until the body comes under submission, even as Brother Branham said, if you testify to a thing long enough, God will make that body respond to that testimony, Lord. He applied it to healing. He applied it right down the line, Lord. And we must do it too and help us to do this great thing, which is so simple you allowed us to do. We thank you again then, Lord, for your goodness. Not as the King eternal, immortal, and is the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.